so hard to break through the fog that calories in, calories out thing matters. Because even when I started my eating, you know, lifting and watching what I eat career, even when I thought I was doing healthier shit, I still saw everything as a calorie that I needed to obviously survive. But it's like it didn't matter where it came from, whether it was produce or Taco Bell. So I just went to Taco Bell.
As a kid, I would literally go to the cabinet and just like if I was hungry, I would just start licking random stuff in the cabinet. Not like in a gross way, but like I would just eat butter, whatever was in there. Like I would just start nibbling on whatever condiments there were, mustard, pickles. Yeah. Like I would just eat whatever was in the cabinet or was in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And that was how I got my calories in. Mayonnaise was a big one. I just squirt a couple things of mayonnaise.
Pretty weird. Roller coaster from eating processed food and then continually being hungry or wanting more.
The excitement of it. It's the dopamine hit. You're like, new food, and then it feels good to eat it. I get these urges. Like I would notice after dinner, I would have these biological urges to eat like ice cream. So I would just know instinctually after dinner is ice cream time. Like my mouth would would salivate after dinner because I would get so used to knowing that that meant that after dinner means snack time. So like after going to the grocery store, my mom comes back from the grocery store, it's like, oh, I get to eat, you know, more chips or more dips or flips or Oreos or whatever the heck she came back with. Like I'll start salivating because I know that grocery store return means that there's like new snacks. And
one of the things I recognize in my own shopping now, if I'm budgeting, then I'm basically cutting out all of these like snack foods. Like what does that look like for me now? It basically looks like getting guacamole and some chips. And when I cut out getting that stuff and just get the bare minimum, then I'm pretty on point for the most part. You'd be surprised how much money you spend on those like snack additive kind of side foods. So this is called 10-week sucralose consumption induces gut dysbiosis and altered glucose and insulin levels in healthy young adults. What Biolane ultimately said from this is dysbiosis is just any change in the gut microbiome. Is this a good change or a bad change? And that's when you have to look into what gut flora bacterial strains were actually affected. This is sucralose, which is in a lot of the zero calorie or non-nutritive sweeteners, energy drinks, countless energy drinks, monsters, all your basic stuff, including Walden Farms syrup and stuff. So in the study, the Blaudia coccoides, if that's how you say it, had increased in the sucralose group. But people that have obesity and type 2 diabetics have less of that bacteria strain in their gut microbiome, is what they found in a study.
Gotcha.
Insulin levels did increase a little bit in the people that did the sucralose, but from what Biolane said is they were cherry picking the time interval to show whatever the best one or the biggest influence on insulin was. And then of course you chalk anything with insulin up to leading to insulin resistance. Well, this was only 10 weeks, so of course you can't conclude many things, including insulin resistance, on body weight outcomes in only 10 weeks. At least in a statistically significant way, the hormones have to kind of reach a factorial level of where things are multiplied, and then shit really hits the fan. You reach a point where you're getting too much of something or something is causing dysfunction, and then you see them in very significant ways. And it's probably not going to happen in 10 weeks. No. This is something that I do, is ingest sucralose mostly every day. So it may not have that big of an effect, but who knows?
There's so many narratives you can fall into where it comes into the divisiveness of trying to blame something. So you're trying to blame the artificial sweeteners. I do see the big takeaway is how it affects the gut microbiome. The gut microbia seems to be the big change, because a lot of the gut microbiome feeds off of sugar. And when you change the sweetener, it's not quite sugar, so it has a different reaction in the gut. So I'm well aware that that's a prominent aspect that they also find here in the study. Like, I think the biggest thing that I would think, assume, and there's no reason why I assumed this, because maybe aspartame gave me a bad idea of it. And that old Nickelodeon ad talking about how bad sugar was that there were carcinogens. I mean, artificial sweetener was a carcinogen. That was like where my head was at for a while with it. And I never knew why. It was just my assumption. Artificial sweetener that's in like diet sodas, like usually artificial sweeteners that are in diet sodas are very dangerous. And I didn't exactly know why until a couple of years ago when I got into the gut health and I learned about how your gut microbiome, it feeds off of, which is why I got so focused on honey, maple syrup, like raw cane sugar, raw fruit juices. I know all sugar is not created equal. So then all artificial sweeteners probably aren't created equal either. So that's when I started realizing that, okay, this blanket statement that I'm considering that all artificial sweeteners are causing cancer is probably fairly inaccurate. And I was kind of shaming these other artificial sweeteners for what a few have done and just the side effects that have been done for a few particular ones. But then it comes to sucralose and ACE-K. And at this point, I am in a mindset where I would prefer, like, because where I'm at with my journey, my health journey, I would prefer just regular sweetener, like healthy sweetener choice over an artificial sweetener. So when I look at products that have these things, it's just like, okay, it's not for me, because this is kind of their modalities are different than mine. So they have different beliefs about what's ideal for health. They think that, okay, no sugar is better than a little bit of good sugar. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, that's not the kind of product that I want to trust all of their other decisions on their sourcing on. So I usually avoid the products that have artificial sweeteners religiously for a bit. And then I just started getting back into trying it this year with the energy drink taste testing. Most people I know who eat drink Diet Coke in particular that have a lot of gut issues.
Yeah.
And of course, it's probably not, they don't have the most ideal diet outside of it, but that's a big one that I hear a lot. And it's addictive. People get hooked on that stuff.